If you're wondering about this Sunday's scripture verses, last Sunday, you know, I preached on from verse 25 to the end of the chapter, and I started studying Sunday night. You know what? I'm going to go back. 33 and 34 has got some more preachable jewels and treasures in it. So guess what? You're going to hear verses 33 and 34. And it's more than a simple moral lesson, but an insightful and profound rule guide for living. Christ's intentions was to integrate assurance, comfort, and security into our faith. The real secret to this passage is in discovering how our faith is applied when faced with overwhelming circumstances. Faith is related also to living. We are residents in a society whose attitudes and morals often run contrary to the ideals of God. In encountering the pitfalls of life, our faith is usually tested without warning. These toxic challenges can transform our religious faith into distortions, which result in emotional unsteadiness and unbalanced actions. Stability needs faith. Faith is a tremendously significant word in our world, both religious and secular. Faith should grow as we mature in life. Faith gives us the fortitude to be able to continue when we do not know what is expected. The right kind of relationship demands faith, not just in God, but ironically also in one another. See, we need one another. We also need God, and God is paramount to all things. It's almost like a triangle, God at the top, you on one side, and others on the other end. That's what the triangle is all about. But, you know, it could be illustrated by such example as a married couple's loyalty and fidelity to one another, or even in normal friendships. God desires confidence, trust, and love for our lives to be obedient to Him. Ever thought that perhaps God was toying with your faith sometimes when you're at that moment of frustration and your prayers seem to never make it above the ceiling? What's to be done about it? Of course, your prayers do make it above the ceiling, but you sometimes have that moment where you wonder, well, is God listening? Is God listening? But what's to be done about it? Well, get bold with it and let God know your frustrations. There's nothing wrong with getting bold with God. Isaiah 41, verse 21 says, "Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the God of Jacob." Bible scholars say this method is called holy argument in prayer. Do you ever think about arguing with God? Well, most of us don't. But here's the thing about it. There are plenty of biblical examples who people in the Bible who used holy argument. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Elijah, and Daniel. They claim divine intervention in these holy arguments in prayer based on their prayer petitions which they presented to God. Don't be timid or frightened. It works. God loves for us to ask Him any question, any dilemma that we are in. Do you ever feel like when you have a problem or problems, you're the only person in the world with problems? I could look around at every one of you, and I'm sure everybody has a problem they're contending with right now. But have you ever noticed this? Once you're through with a problem and it's solved, you sort of wipe your forehead and say, "Phew, I'm glad that's over," and guess what? Another one comes right up on top of that one, and you have to try to solve that problem. But with God's help, the problem can be solved. See, there's no problem God can't help you with. So don't ever feel limited, or don't ever feel like you're alone. With God makes two. Think about that. God is the one to go to. God must be the one you ask before you do anything else about it. God will help you find the soft spot in that problem. And guess what? That problem will be solved. It's said in previous sermons, humans must have the need to worship something, whether positive or negative. Well, remember the negative? When Moses was upon Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, and guess what the children of Israel did? They had Aaron, Moses' brother, make them a golden calf. That is negative worship in the worst sort of way. But, you know, in this requirement comes with the implication that there must be continual fellowship with God. It must include belief that God must exist prior to worshiping Him. You know, I've never met a true atheist in my life. They believe in something. They deny they believe in God. We do. But they actually believe in something, or I think they would lose their minds. It has been a proven fact, sadly, more atheists commit suicide than any other people in the world. And I believe it. What if, you know, I was just discussing a problem. What if you are facing a life emergency or an issue in your family? And if you're an atheist, where do you turn to? Sooner or later, your human resources dry up. The books don't seem to give an answer, or the iPads. So what do you do? And so that's where the atheist comes to a stone wall. They don't have anywhere else to turn. We do. We can go to God because Jesus Christ is our intercessor to God. And we have that outlet that God can give us the assurance and comfort that we need. And, you know, does that make sense? It does to me. The way to experience God's love is to develop faith. We must go further than just accept the existence of God. It's mandatory to believe in a certain attribute of God, and you know what that is, that characteristic? It's love. God yearns for our trust and obedience, and He gets it through love. God is eager to do more for us than is expected, and is pleased when we draw closer to Him as much as possible. We should develop an expectant attitude, for this is the reality of our faith in God. Do you have an expectant reality and confirmation that God's going to come through for you? Well, you should if you don't. God always blesses those who seek a deeper faith. Why did that say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you? You've got to seek God first. Whatever it is that's perplexing you, that's needling you, whatever it is that you've got that itch that you're desiring, you first of all have to take it to God and talk to God about it. If you don't, then it's a lost cause. The connection between faith and belief is dramatically seen in the story of Abraham and Sarah, as described in Genesis 18. That's the chapter for Sodom and Gomorrah, by the way. Abraham and Sarah were convinced that being childless was God's plan for them. Sometimes we hit a rut in our lives and we start thinking, well, maybe God's intended for me to have this or do this. It can be anything. It may be financial difficulty, a health issue, crisis, maybe a family matter. But you know, God somehow will pull the rabbit out of the hat for us. God does those things. God delights to surprise us, but we have to go to God and seek God's help in these matters. And so Abraham and Sarah had already concluded that what was going to happen happened. They were going to be childless. Abraham also decided that his servant would inherit his property. But God had other plans for this couple. Remember when the Lord visited Abraham at his tent in the desert? God told him that his wife Sarah would be a mother within 12 months. Well, Sarah was eavesdropping nearby. She was astonished because 90-year-old women don't give birth, But the Lord overheard her chuckling laughter. In essence, God said to Abraham and Sarah that you will truly believe when your son Isaac is born. God was there and told them. And Sarah denied the laughter, as you recall in the story. But God says, no, you chuckled. You chuckled behind our backs over there. And God's promise was fulfilled entirely. And God never forgets a promise. Now, we may forget promises to God. We may forget promises to our family, our friends. But God never turns his back on us. Are you convinced of that? You should be. God has never held back anything. You know, incidentally, Sarah never forgot about her laughter, because Isaac's name means one of laughter. And so Isaac, she kept that in mind the rest of her life. You know, faith can grow, and indeed it must grow, if it is to be the kind of faith pleasing to God. Most of us take our faith for granted, and we assume to be entitled to it. Well, that's not the case. If you start taking your faith for granted, then you're going to hit a dead end, you're going to hit a status quo, and that faith's going to become stagnant. You have to continually till it like you would soil for a good garden to grow. And to think you're entitled is a wrong attitude, but sometimes it cannot be helped. How do we avert such a spiritual disaster? Well, there are numerous safety nets which may keep our faith from getting shipwrecked. Yes, there's a lot of Christians out there with a shipwrecked faith, and they become cynical and almost insolent about it, but it was their own undoing. Events turned against them, and they decided to blame God on them. But if they had only protected their faith, it wouldn't have happened. Well, one of the things is to attend church regularly. That's an important thing. Now, I hear stories that people say, well, they can go to the lake or the ocean and fish on Sundays, or the golf course, or do whatever this and that. Yes, you can experience God in nature. There's no doubt about it. But to come together in corporate worship with fellow Christians adds so much to it. Do you remember when during the COVID thing we met on Zoom? It wasn't the same, was it? I mean, it was enjoyable to see your faces, but you didn't have that one-on-one, that warm body presence of one another. I felt it, and I'm sure you did too. We need one another. The Holy Spirit is present among us all, but especially when we're in church together. Never forget that at all. But you know, as I said, there are numerous safety nets which may keep our faith from getting shipwrecked. The first one was attending church regularly. Another one is to pray daily. It doesn't matter what time of day you pray or where you pray. I used to have an attitude years ago that I had to pray at a certain spot at a certain time or my prayer wasn't going to be effective. Well, you know, God never sleeps and God never turns us on hold or anything like that. We can pray to God anywhere we want to. So pray daily. It doesn't have to be a long, profound prayer. It can be a short prayer. It can be a medium prayer. It can be whatever time length you have. God will be there to listen and to answer. And read your Bible as often as possible. Get to know it. Go. You don't have to start with the book of Leviticus, which as some people say is dry as dust. I've read it numerous times, and I found some great spiritual jewels in it. But read your Bible. Start with the New Testament and do so. And on top of that, there are devotional booklets available here in the church. We have These Days in Our Daily Bread. You can pick you up a copy of these, and you can take them home and use them. They can help facilitate maybe your faith to get you to think a little bit more about some insights of your faith that you never thought about before. So pick you up a couple of copies of that. Maybe take some extra and give to friends or relatives who may need them. So those things are there to help make our faith stronger and more durable. And so nurturing faith is essential for a healthy relationship with God. No excuse is permitted for not keeping your faith vibrant. Faith matures when there is commitment to making God our priority in all we do, regardless of age, education, social class, or even profession. I think some people are afraid to pray to God and try to keep their faith growing because they're afraid God might ask them to do something and they feel like that they're not worthy. Discard that thought from your mind. God is molding your faith according to the way He wants it, not because of some great spiritual giant that we've heard about or maybe seen or studied. Just remember this. Everybody's faith is uniquely tailored according to what God wants it to be, not because what the person sitting next to you has. Never compare your faith to somebody else's. That could be also your downfall. Yes, we all move in different paces of life. You may be more advanced than somebody else, but that doesn't make their faith inferior to yours, nor does your faith look in fear if you see somebody a lot more, maybe a spiritual giant in your eyes. Nobody's faith is inferior. Only thing you have to do is stoke that faith and keep it nurtured, as I said. If you don't, you will be in trouble. You know, we know faith only as we become involved and commit ourselves. It does take commitment, and commitment is a very, very rare word these days, a very rare development. Most people don't like that word because it takes time and perhaps some energy to do so. And so faith is a commitment. And please commit yourself to making your faith even better. You know, we go to, as all the people goes to fitness centers such as Bally's and all these different places to keep their bodies in shape. Why shouldn't we keep our spiritual bodies in shape as well? That's more important than physical fitness, but I'm not saying neglect your physical fitness, but what I'm saying is make sure your spiritual side doesn't lose ground because it's so important to do so. If we live with today's faith and leave tomorrow to itself, then we'll walk as genuine people of faith in whatever circumstances, because God is still in control. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, our faith is one of those things that we should hold dearly. Let us never forget that. And let us know, let us also feel inside of us that as our faith grows, we grow closer to you. Help us in all things that we do. Watch over us, O Lord. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.